Welcome to this week's CMS Personalized Learning Teacher Voice Podcast, Season 2, Episode 14. My name is Jess Donovan, and today we are going to talk about implementing student data trackers in the classroom and encouraging students to set achievable goals. Now, I'm sure you are thinking, you're going to tell me that my students can track their data and set goals from it? Is this even possible? Hopefully by the end of this podcast, you'll be motivated to try this within your classroom, no matter the grade level or subject area. Last year, when I began my PL journey, my main focus was going to be on building the whole child and then slowly working through each of the other three cornerstones. However, I was beginning to realize that some things that I were already doing in my classroom were considered personalized learning. Data was a piece that stuck out to me. I knew that since I was already using it to drive my instruction on a daily basis, moving into the mastery learning cornerstone would be the easiest. In order to be an effective teacher, we are required not only to track our data for our students, but use it to drive our instruction throughout each lesson. Before personalized learning, I would give my students an assessment, a week later they would receive their scores, and then we'd review past standards and groups. There was no choice on how they practice a skill. There was no goal setting or reflecting. There was certainly no discussion of partial mastery or mastery with the student. So the question is, how can we move from teacher-centered to student-centered to student-driven with using data? How can we increase student ownership in the classroom without raising their frustration level? And while there certainly isn't a one-size-fits-all answer, I would begin by starting small. There are many different types of data that your students can keep track of. MAP scores, reading level, exit tickets, quizzes, common assessments, written comprehension, benchmark assessments, fact fluency. Encourage your students to pick one type of data that they want to see, understand, set goals for, and achieve those goals. Sometimes what teachers find most important for their students to master isn't necessarily what students find the most important to master. And you have to get them motivated to participate. Yes, there is a fine line between letting students make all of the decisions and having a voice in those decisions. However, by including them in the decision-making process, you will see much more motivation for these students to want to be able to do this. With whatever type of data students are recording, one piece of advice that I can give you is to model, model, model. And even when you think they have it, model it again. My goal was to give my fourth graders the expectations of how to track and reflect their data, guide them through it several times, and abracadabra, they could do it on their own. I realized the hard way that they certainly were not. Looking at data as a teacher is reality for us. And I was so excited to implement this that I forgot that this was brand new to my students. Being a reflective practitioner showed me that I needed to instill in them not just how to record their data, but why it is important to reflect and set new goals. After I give each pretest to my students, part of their workshop time is to reflect on what their strongest and weakest standard or skill was. They are using their data as evidence, but also taking what they know from the ICANN statements to help them. Then they'll set a goal for the unit. Do you want to show growth on a standard? Do you want to receive a certain score on the post-test? Do they want to be able to teach a skill to someone else? As they set their short-term goals, they determine exactly what it is that they are going to have to do to reach it. Will they need extra support in class? Will they need to participate in lessons on that topic? Will they need to practice one problem a night at home? They will repeat this process once they take the post-test. At this point, they will look at the unit as a whole. This is a beneficial part of the reflecting process because the students can see what growth they showed from the pretest through quizzes and activities to the post-test. They will also be able to analyze if they reached their initial goal, and if so, set a new one moving forward. If not, it tells the students that their action plan was not as strong as it needed to be. I also encourage you to tell your students to be brutally honest. It's okay that they're in the red on a post-test, and it's okay that maybe they didn't do as well as they thought they would overall. Did you show growth even when one small area? Did you feel like you knew the information better now than when we started our unit? These are great questions to think about as you guide your students through reflecting. My students understand that it's not the score, but the growth that matters. I know it's scary to try new things, especially ones that you want to be successful with, but aren't sure that they will be. But it is so amazing to see the students set a goal, make an action plan, and achieve those goals that they set themselves. Just think about how if they consistently work towards achieving goals now, just how successful they will be when they're adults. Thank you for listening to this week's CMS Teacher Voice. We look forward to learning more with you next week.